North Carolina's mental health system is in crisis. WFAE has been exploring what that means in our series Fractured. In this installment, we take a look at how the overwhelmed mental health system is affecting the criminal justice system. The vast majority of violent crimes aren't committed by people living with mental illness. Studies show those with serious mental illness are many times more likely to be victims of crime than victimizers. But when people struggling with mental illness are charged with violent crimes, it poses a dilemma. When a defendant receives treatment and improves while awaiting trial in custody, prosecutors must decide whether they'll ask for a prison sentence or allow defendants to be released to the community with no guarantee they'll continue their care. Prisons aren't ideal places to receive mental health care, but prosecutors say they also have to consider public safety. Dana Miller Irvin talks to one defendant who's doing better, but questions remain. Should he serve time in prison or stay in the community?
On April 1st, 2019, 24-year-old Eric Ramsey was taken into custody.
The man authorities believe could be behind four armed robberies in just one night is behind bars.
Police say Ramsey covered his face with a black bandana, armed himself with a .22 caliber handgun, and held up four convenience stores in Mecklenburg and Iredell counties. A shot was fired, but no one was hurt.
We have this surveillance image of one of those.
Prosecutors say Ramsey confessed to his parents, and they went to the police. Ramsey pled guilty in Iredell County, where two of the crimes occurred. He served more than a year in jail. Then he got 3 years probation. But he's still awaiting trial in Mecklenburg County. That's because a Mecklenburg court found he was too mentally ill to stand trial. So he had to go to a state psychiatric hospital for treatment first. I met Ramsey last July in the Mecklenburg County Detention Center. He'd just returned from the state psychiatric hospital, where he'd been diagnosed with schizophrenia and given medication. A court found he's doing better now, so his case can finally go forward. With his lawyer present, Ramsey explains through a plexiglass divider that his problems began when a woman who said she was being held hostage messaged him through his phone. He spoke of his delusions as if they were facts.
I was talking to this female, and then I get a message from her, and it said like something about demons. And then I was like, are you okay? I felt like I needed to help her.
The next message he received was from the Illuminati, Ramsey tells me.
He helped me out. She's in jail. Yeah, they were like, give us this amount of money and then she's free.
Ramsey says he doesn't hear voices anymore.
I tell them at the hospital that I heard that voice. They give me medication for it.
Did it make the voice go away?
I haven't heard any voices since.
But Ramsey's attorney and the Mecklenburg prosecutor couldn't agree on a plea deal. His attorney, Jason St. Aubin, says the prosecutor wants Ramsey to serve at least 2.5 years in a state prison. That's in addition to the time he's already served in the county's jail. Armed robbery is a serious crime, but St. Aubin worries the prison won't provide the care his client needs to eventually return to society.
These violent crimes aren't going to keep somebody away forever. In the end, that person will be back out on the street, and they're going to need a framework for success.
St. Aubin wants Ramsey to get the kind of care that defendants receive in the county's mental health court. Under the supervision of a judge, defendants can avoid prison as long as they stay on medication, get therapy, and stay clean. Data from the mental health court shows its graduates are less likely to reoffend. But Ramsey isn't eligible for the program. St. Aubin says court staff told him the crimes Ramsey is charged with are too serious.
They didn't feel like the level of supervision they could provide was adequate. So they felt like they'd be setting him up potentially for failure.
Mental health court staff told WFAE they allow some defendants charged with violent crimes to join the program, but only if staff believe the benefit to the defendant outweighs any safety risk. Even though Ramsey wasn't eligible for mental health court, St. Aubin still wanted to convince a judge that Ramsey can live safely in the community.
Your Honor, procedural history first for the court. He was arrested in March of 2019.
Last November, he persuaded a judge to let Ramsey out on house arrest. Ramsey has to wear an ankle monitor, take his medicine, and go to therapy, all conditions of his release. It's a few weeks later, and Ramsey's living with his stepbrother.
I love playing video games.
Ramsey's first therapy appointment will be the following week. But it's clear his stepbrother Austin Holland, a pastor, is providing a lot of care too. Ramsey's fortunate. It's the kind of help many families can't provide.
I can pretty quickly identify like whether he's okay or not, whether we're in an episode or whatnot, and his demeanor changes and his speech pattern and his breathing pattern changes.
Holland says his stepbrother's mental health issues were aggravated by an internet scammer, someone who'd been bilking Ramsey for money before the crimes took place. Holland says he tried to tell Ramsey he was being scammed, but his stepbrother wouldn't listen.
Like the voice that I heard, you can't explain unless you were there, like to hear it yourself. Like, it didn't come from like inside my head. It came from like I was watching a video on the internet, and then it said like from the video.
Although Ramsey says he no longer hears voices, his experience with them remains real to him. He still thinks the woman's pleas for help came from a real person contacting him through a video, not from inside his head. Holland tries to explain it was just a line in a song.
It said a line that clicked in your brain that made you start thinking that was said to you, right? But it wasn't said to you.
Ramsey doesn't believe Austin, but he agrees he needs to work on his mental health. He says he'll continue taking his medicine, and he wants to get a job. And Holland says his stepbrother worries about the people who got held up.
The first time we talked about it, he just kept saying how bad he felt for the people.
If he goes to prison, he's almost certainly going to get worse.
Dr. Neil Gowan-Smith of the University of Denver is a national expert on mental illness in the criminal justice system. He hasn't met Ramsey, but he says mental health care in most U.S. prisons is poor. It can't compare to the care Ramsey got in the state hospital or the help he'll get while living with his brother.
I mean, mental health treatment in prison is awful. He's going to get worse. He may not have the same medication regimen that available to him in prison. He may not have any interest in taking it after he's been sentenced. He's going to be far more likely to be victimized than a victimizer in prison, and he's going to come out worse.
Gowan-Smith says the risk that someone will reoffend goes down when they're taking their medication, living at home, and trying to put their life back together. But courts need to make sure defendants stay on their medication.
If there's a concern that he's not going to adhere, then you monitor him closely. And if things fall apart, then prison's still there as an option.
Having things fall apart worries Mecklenburg County District Attorney Spencer Merriweather. He won't comment on Ramsey's case. He says he does consider a defendant's mental health when offering a plea deal. But he has to balance that with concerns about public safety.
The community doesn't necessarily want those folks out of custody until they have figured out whether it is only accountability that they need, or accountability and treatment, or just treatment. That has to be figured out.
Merriweather's frustrated that many defendants get their first mental health diagnosis after they're behind bars. Courts aren't the right place to help someone with mental illness, he says, and it's hard on the victims, especially when defendants with mental illnesses are released before they stand trial. That happens when defendants are too ill to go to court, but they wait so long for a hospital bed, they end up serving the maximum sentence for the crime. Then the law requires their release.
That is a hard thing for someone to take if they've had their house shot into, if they've been stabbed a number of times and cut, if they've had a gun stuck in their face.
And if mental health care isn't available when they're released, Merriweather says they sometimes commit another crime.
And do we end up repeating that cycle over and over again? Absolutely.
The churn of dealing with people suffering from mental illness adds to the court's backlog. Merriweather blames chronic underfunding of the state's mental health system.
Every single day, people throughout our criminal justice system, victims of crime, and the friends and family that love them, are seeing that price of not giving the attention that we really need to give to mental health. And at some point, that's got to change.
He's hopeful that things might be changing. In March, the North Carolina General Assembly passed a bill expanding Medicaid coverage to everyone earning less than 138% of the poverty level, about $20,000 a year for an individual. That won't go into effect until there's agreement on a state budget. Then some lawmakers from both parties want to spend $1 billion of federal money on mental health.
That is a significant investment in public safety, a significant investment in wellness in our community that has exponential impact on everything that I do.
But if North Carolina doesn't invest in a stronger mental health system, Merriweather says the problems will continue. Courts can monitor defendants to make sure they're taking medication, but at some point, their jurisdiction ends.
Then you are left with the same person who has the same need, who could potentially create the same level of danger. So there's got to be some other level of support system that's an alternative to judicial authority that can provide this thing that everybody in the community knows this person needs in order for all of us to be safe and for that person to be well.
As for Ramsey, there's one person who doesn't want him in prison. The clerk at a Huntersville Quick Stop who was held up says he's glad Ramsey's doing better.
If he can get the help he needs, he should get the help he needs. He shouldn't be stuck behind bars, you know, making things worse.
Ramsey's family has been making sure he's getting help. His application for disability benefits was denied, so his family has been paying out of pocket for Ramsey's therapy and medication. That is, up until a few weeks ago. Now Ramsey's got a job picking up trash around apartment buildings, so he's paying for the medication himself. I met with Ramsey again in May.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
He looked healthy, and he told me he's doing great. He says the medication is helping him, and he'll continue to take it so he can go back to school and get a better job. But Ramsey's situation is far from resolved. St. Aubyn isn't a public defender anymore, so Ramsey will have a new lawyer when he goes to court later this month. Then he could learn whether he's headed for trial. For WFAE News, I'm Dana Miller Irvin.
The series was edited by Greg Collard and Aaron Texera. Our researcher is Mona Dugani. The podcast is edited and produced by me, Eric Thiel, at WFAE in Charlotte. Fractured is a collaboration between WFAE and the PBS series Frontline through its local journalism initiative, which is funded by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.